Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. I think it's fair to say that most, maybe all of us, would really, really love to have control over our finances. And for a lot of people, that is not a description of their current reality. Many people rely on someone else to be in charge of their money for a whole host of reasons, and that can have you feeling powerless. The phrase that our next guest talks about is financial dependence. Her name is Estelle Gibson. She's a TED speaker, she's a coach, and she spends most of her waking hours talking about how to help people learn about financial freedom. She is in Dayton, Ohio. Hello there, Estelle.
Hello, Bruce. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for joining us. I want to hear you define what you mean when you use the phrase financial dependence.
Okay, perfect. So financial dependence or financial dependency is when someone is dependent on a person, a job, or a situation for money. And in some cases, they feel trapped.
Yeah. And what would be some examples of people in that circumstance?
So some people would be somebody that is in, it can be relationships. And there's two categories, people that are dependent by choice or by circumstance. So people that are dependent by choice are people that hand over their financial power. It can be in a relationship, in a partnership, where you don't want to manage the money and you let somebody else do that. Or it can be in business where you hand over the control and the managing of the money to someone else. And how many of us have heard of celebrities, athletes, people who have handed over their money to a family friend, a manager, and they end up losing control of what's going on.
This is not inherently problematic. Is that fair to say?
Explain what you mean by that.
What I mean by that is my mom is 87. Mm-hmm. She is financially dependent on my brother who runs her money. This provides great comfort to her, great support. It is in service of her life at this stage. For someone who is in a abusive relationship, the how they feel about it, the practical consequences are completely and totally different.
Correct. Now that's the other situation. Let's talk about your mom. Your mom's doing that by choice. Yeah. That's not a problem unless there is somebody like your brother was taking advantage of her. Now that's the other side, which is dependent by circumstance. So someone is dependent by circumstance if they're in a relationship and someone has control over them. If they're in a job and they feel that they can't leave their job because of maybe credit card debt or insurance that they need or a family that they have to support. And also adult children that sometimes move back home, either illness, addiction, a tragedy, an emergency. And elderly people that either are incapacitated mentally or physically and don't have a choice. So that's circumstance and versus choice. And your mom is doing it by choice. Absolutely. Yeah.
There is the practical dynamic. There is also an enormous psychological dynamic. Absolutely. So you could have two breadwinners who earn exactly the same amount of money. They are contributing exactly to the penny, the same amount to the family finances. And one has the experience of being dependent on the other because they have no agency. They can't just go and use their hard-earned money to buy something, whether it is a need or a want. Talk a bit more about that dynamic.
Yeah, I find that in couples a lot, and I work with couples. And what happens is, it's a miscommunication, Bruce, because sometimes the person that's managing the money, and most of the times one person, I've never found it where two people are managing the money, it's usually one person. The person that's managing the money feels responsible. They don't necessarily try to control the person, but the other person feels controlled, and they feel like they have to ask for permission. So it's really a miscommunication. And when people get together and I work with them, they get to see the other side. And when they start to be involved, they don't have to be the expert. They don't have to do it all, but they need to be informed to a certain extent. They begin to take on the responsibility together, even though one person will still do the work and maybe manage the money, the communication, the responsibility of it changes the dynamic completely.
We're going to talk about what to do if this is a characterization of how you find yourself in this current time. But before we do that, is there anything else you would say to help people illuminate whether this is the circumstance that they're in? And I ask because some people may think, was that really a choice? Did I actually choose that? Or did it just unfold that way because I had the kids and there's a gendered dynamic here. I had the kids, I stayed home with the kids and they worked on their career and ba, 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 ba. I'm not clear that that was a choice that I made. And maybe it really wasn't a choice I made.
So that brings up, okay, let me get this synthesized. brings up, I have like 10 things I could talk about, but and one of the solutions is awareness. And one of the pieces of awareness is, you know, being aware of what's going on in your situation and talking about it, because we don't talk about money and we don't talk about, this is why this thing gets, you know, persists and gets stuck, because people think that it's not happening to them, or if it is happening to them, they're the only one it's happening to. And when it comes to money, I always say what is seen is more impactful than what is heard. And we learn about this through generational patterns. And I know you've had guests on before that have talked about money stories. So when you have generational patterns and belief systems based on your society, community, family, and personal, you behave just out of those. You don't even know. It's like the fish, you know, that what's that saying about, you don't even know the water that you swim in, because it's so ingrained in your way of being. So you don't think anything's wrong. And unless you hear about it, which is why this problem is so prevalent, is because people don't talk about it, because the people that are having issues with it are feeling shame and guilt and and don't want to talk about it. So I'll tell you, when I did my TED Talk, there were so many people, I can't even tell you, everybody that see my TED Talk or talked to me said, you've told my story. They have a story. They have a recognition that, oh my gosh, this is true for me. And I didn't even know it.
When you talk about communication, it may well be that the circumstances of this dependency in a practical way do not move an inch, do not change at all. But what changes is the context, and expectations can be reset such that both individuals are empowered and clear on roles and responsibility and all that. What are some of the areas that now, okay, communication is open, we are communicating. What are some of the things that you would encourage people in relationships to talk about?
So I have what I, people in relationships, I'd send them on what's called a money date. And a money date is an opportunity to have a conversation in a space where you normally don't talk about money, and at a time where you're not feeling stressed, and you can talk about whatever you want. But I set like an initial agenda that they begin to have conversations about money topics, things that are going on in their money life cycle, because everybody has a money life cycle depending on, did you just get out of college? Are you married? Do you have kids? Are we approaching, you know, getting a house, whatever? So you start to build a list of topics that you want to discuss. They can be everyday topics, they can be controversial ones, but the whole idea is to begin to create a time and a space to have a conversation. And then things, you know, it's set aside, Bruce, so that it's not like, what usually happens is people have conversations when there's a conflict or a problem, and that's not a great time to have it, right? Because then emotions are flying, and it's, so if we set up a time, whether weekly, bi-weekly, or however, and you know, okay, this thing has come up during the week, and I'm going to, you know, reserve it for the money conversation. And I'm going to make sure that I'm in a space that I'm not stressed, rushed, upset. So, you know, the just setting the tone and the time makes a huge difference.
What would you offer in terms of the gender dynamic in these conversations? I happen to be married to a dude. You could be married to a woman, who knows, but many majority of couples would be heterosexual, and there are inherent systemic issues between the genders for 12,000 reasons, the wage gap, you know, all the things. What insight would you have for people in heterosexual relationships in how to navigate this?
So what I have found is that the gender doesn't matter. It matters the role, because I have worked with couples where the woman manages the money, and it's the same dynamic in another couple where the man manages the money. So it doesn't matter. The roles are the key, and the money stories that you have, it's the roles that you take on. It doesn't matter about gender because it's different for different people.
It's there's a huge power dynamic here. Mm-hmm. And we know that when a power struggle begins, I have a teenager at home. I know mm-hmm. how power struggles can work.
You got it.
how do you diffuse that?
So a power struggle as far as spending the money or
even having the conversation. Because I think you're sure we're talking about numbers on a page.
Right.
But really it can be, oh no, I've got the power here. And here's what I'm going to do. And it's not even necessarily the person who runs the money. Mm-hmm. There can be a power dynamic that lives for both parties in lots of different ways.
That's a great question. And I actually find that that's where coaching and a third party, you know, you guys have most couples have a dynamic and it's hard to see outside of that dynamic when you're in it, because you have a way of operating. It's like the dance of anger. It's a dance that you do. And when a third party gets involved, one person isn't listening to their partner based on how they want to respond. They're listening to their partner because I'm asking the questions or someone else is asking the questions. So they don't have to respond. So they listen differently. It seems magical, but it really works when there's another party or I don't know other than another party how you would do it. But the dynamic shifts because you're not in your roles anymore.
We've talked about this in the context of, you know, I would say average functioning couples. Mm-hmm. At what point does this tip into financial abuse? What are the signs that we're actually not talking about something that is resolved quite simply in a facilitated conversation with a coach or a therapist? This is actually abuse.
So financial abuse is very specific. It is a form of dependency by circumstance. So someone is in a relationship and the other person has power over them because they do not have access to information, to money, to bank accounts, to passwords. So they actually don't have any access to anything. And the person has power over them from a sense of control.
Interesting stuff. Estelle, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Estelle Gibson is a TED speaker. If you want to check that TED Talk out, search TED Talk, Estelle Gibson and financial dependency, and you will find it. She was in Dayton, Ohio today.